The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners on the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to go with Miss Katie for a story and songs and prayers during the sermon, and they'll return at the piece.
Through the written word and the spoken word, God, help us to hear your living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love an extended metaphor. I'm admittedly less good with sports metaphors, but otherwise, let's take it and run. That wasn't even on purpose. Jesus, and in turn the writers of the gospel, also love an extended metaphor. The parables are extended metaphors. The kingdom of God is like... Before we even get to these parables, though, Jesus starts with a metaphor for ministry. After an incredible miracle, catching overflowing nets worth of fish, Jesus invited these fishermen, "Do not be afraid, for now you will be catching people." Biblical figures love to say, "Do not be afraid," right before they say something or do something that should make us afraid or at least confused. Jesus tells this group of fishermen, "From now on, you will be fishing for people." That's confusing. Of course, this is an image that we have received through the generations, so it might not strike us as particularly perplexing. We can take this metaphor and run with it. And these disciples are either comfortable enough with this idea or amazed enough by the miracle that they drop everything and do exactly as Jesus invites. Let's dig into this fishing metaphor. We can look back at the prophets who share this same imagery. But instead of bringing followers into the fold, the prophets describe moments of judgment. Sinners are brought by hooks and nets into judgment. hear the words of Jeremiah. I am now sending many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall catch them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and hill and out of the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on them always, and they are not hidden from my presence, nor their iniquity concealed from my sight. Amos does this as well. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan who are on Mount Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy. The Lord God has shown by his holiness. The time is surely coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks. Through the breaches of the wall you shall leave, each on straight ahead. And you shall be flung out into Harmon. Habakkuk says this: You have made people like fish of the sea, like crawling things with no ruler. The enemy brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his sen, so he rejoices and exults. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offering to his sen. For by them his portion is lavish and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and destroying nations without mercy? Each of these three prophets offer a word of judgment. Those who have done evil and harm will be grabbed up by fish hooks, caught with the devil's net, or hunted. These are certainly not the images that come to my mind when I think about Jesus and the disciples fishing for people. Was Jesus flipping the script of these prophets? Was Jesus using this image for different purposes? Perhaps. When we look in particular at Simon Peter, we can see this rewrite in action. Simon's first reaction to the miracle is to confess his sinfulness. In the writing of the prophets, a hook might have grabbed Simon in judgment, or he could have been caught in the devil's net. Simon offers this confession without knowing what will come next. The power of the miracle is so great that he wants to share the fullness of himself with Jesus, even if the response is judgment. But here, Jesus both receives this confession and invites Simon into discipleship. Jesus does not shame Simon. Jesus did not condemn him or leave him behind. Jesus brought him into relationship and gave him and the fishermen with him an important role in the Jesus movement. In short, Jesus recruits sinners to be his disciples. Thanks be to God for that. Jesus chose imperfect people and continues to choose imperfect people. God invites each of us into discipleship in our imperfection, not in spite of it. God wants imperfect people to be part of this beautiful life with Jesus. Invitation precedes judgment. This is not to forget the need for accountability, but to have it in the context of deep relationship. We all sin, and Jesus says to us not to be afraid and instead to join in the journey of discipleship. There's another learning I tease out from our fishing metaphor today. I'm not a fisherman by any means, but I have been fishing enough times to know that a lot of it is boring. For every very exciting catch. There are several minutes of sitting and waiting. There's the hauling of all your stuff to the boat or pier. There's cleaning the fish so it can make it to your dinner plate. That part's not boring, it's just gross. The point is that fishing, whether for fish or for people, isn't always exciting. Not every moment, not every trip will be the big catch. See the disciples who spent all night fishing and brought up nothing. Most of the life of discipleship is the work of gathering our supplies, practicing our skills, sitting and waiting, hopefully with good company, and then cleaning up. Then there are the moments that bring that tedious work into play. There's the big catch. I'll share an example from my own life. I love being a priest, and not every day is exciting. Like any of us, there are lots of emails, there are materials to prepare, there are meetings to attend. But then there's the joy of worship with each of you. There's a group conversation that creates connection. Or perhaps a Bible study or a teaching that opens up a new understanding of Scripture. And what's more, on occasion there are days that are especially exciting. There will be a person who discovers they can be both gay or transgender and Christian. There will be a little girl who sees me in my collar and rejoices. There are days with baptism, especially glorious music, or visitors finding the community they so need. The same follows for the life of faith for all of us. Many days will be without note. But we must ground ourselves in regular practice of prayer, reading Scripture, gathering in community, serving the life of the world and the church. These practices prepare us for great joy, but they also ground us in times of deep uncertainty. The life of discipleship buoys us, especially when we are with our fellow disciples. I've heard from many of you the past few weeks about your gratitude for this community, your gratitude for a place of prayer, for people who love and support you, for learning and chances to give back. That is the life that sustains us when our nets come up empty. So I want to offer this reminder for all of us. At St. Columba's, in God's church as it is made manifest among us, this is a place where each of us is loved, where we are free to learn and grow, where we are surrounded by the prayers of our fellow disciples, where you are needed, wanted, and important. I'll say that last part again because I know I need to hear it. This is a place where you are needed, wanted, and important. God surrounds us, and God invites us beautiful, imperfect people into discipleship together. Let us stick together in these bonds of love and be ready for the heaping miracles that God will bestow upon us. Do not be afraid, my friends, for we are fishers of people. Amen.